All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Everybody doing all right? Entering into Facebook Live land and Harvest Baptist Church via Facebook. It's an interesting time that we're in right now. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to grab a cup of coffee. Grab your Bible. Grab a neighbor. Right. Social distancing. Make sure that we're not multitasking, do all kinds of different things. We're getting ready to get into the Word together. So I pray that you are prayed up, that you are praised, that you spent some time in praise this morning. And I'm ready to jump in. I hope you guys are too. So I'm going to ask us to do a few different things this morning. Just remember that we are in a time of social distancing. That's just kind of where we are. As a church, as a society, but we have this amazing ability to do this, to have social constant contact with each other. So we're going to be ramping that up as a church, doing some different things. Mason's going to be doing some live streams. He just found that out. David Shelby's going to be doing some different things, and we're gonna figure it all out. But we're just wanting to stay as connected as we possibly can at a time when everybody's just isolating themselves over concerns about a virus. And so what a huge opportunity we have as a church, because this cannot replace what we do. This does not replace who we are. Why? Because the church is not a building. We are not a church service. We are not a performance. And so we got to remember that. We are the church. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we got to remember that what we're doing here is not a replacement for the church. You should be having your own church service every single day of the week with the Lord, right? You should be having your own quiet time. You should be spending time with the Lord. You should be spending time on the phone with other believers, praying together, encouraging one another. You should have received a phone call from one of our leaders sometime this week. If you didn't, it'll happen very, very soon. But you should have received a phone call just checking on you. How are you doing? What are the needs that you might have? How can you help facilitate the needs in other people's lives? And so we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg trying to figure out how to figure this thing out. But here's what I need you to do. We're in a live stream. I need you to find a way to make a watch party and invite others to join. And not so that they can hear me, but so that we can get the Word of God out to as many people as we possibly can. So if you could do that. And secondly, here's what I want you to do. If you can type on your phone and make some comments as this is going, we would never do this during a Sunday morning together, but we're doing it together today. Type out some praises. Here, what are you praising God for? Type that out. Put that up on the live stream so everybody can see, hey, I'm praising God that we're able to do this. That's what I'm praising God for. There's just sometimes where we're not able to meet and we don't have this opportunity. And so I'm thankful for that here. So type out some praises, type out some prayer requests, some specific prayer requests that you need the body to be praying for you. Right. So people are seeing who's up. People are seeing who's watching. Let's make sure that we're praying together. So as you see these prayer requests scroll, make sure you write those down so you specifically know how to pray for the body of Christ. So let's put out some praises. Let's put out some prayer requests. And then here's something else I'd like you to do. I want you to pop up some praise songs that have just been ministering to you. I've been listening to some of the old hymns lately. I've been Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I've been listening to some of those things. But I've been listening to a lot of people on songs on YouTube. I've been jamming to that. And I was listening to some gospel choirs this morning. So just getting my praise on and just enjoying my time with the Lord. And so pop up some different praise songs that you've been listening to, that's been ministering to you, and just enter in a time of praise and prayer and fellowship together. And so what I want to do is I want to pray. We're going to dive into Romans chapter 16, which is an amazing passage for where we are as a church and where we are as a society. And I think it speaks directly into what we can do and how we can roll forward as a church. And so let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for this technology that we're able to do and you use for your kingdom. Lord, that we can Facebook Live. It's pretty remarkable. Lord, that we're able to do this very thing is just pretty amazing. So, Lord, I pray that as we get into your word, as our body has meeting in living rooms and in basements and in kitchens and in bedrooms or wherever they are, Lord, that we're able to meet together through this live stream is pretty amazing, and I'm grateful for it. But Lord, we're getting ready to enter into your word. And so, Lord, I pray that this is not just another message, but it'll be a message in due season, spoken in at the right time. And Lord, that it would meet the right people at the right time, on time. That is my prayer. And so this is awkward for me. This is weird. Lord, I pray you would wipe away any nervousness that I might have. And Lord, I just want to proclaim your truth to your people. And I thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, so we're in Romans 16 is where I'd like you to be turning your Bibles or on your phone or on your tablet or whatever it is that you're using. I want to remind you where we were last week. We're talking about the part one of this part two message is that we want to send where we cannot go. That if there are times we're not able to get to people. And what a reality that is today. There are just some people we're not able to get to. And so what do we do as a church? Well, we send our physical support. Right, we send our presence support and we send our prayer support. That's what we talked about last week. And so the physical support of things, we continuously need to be sending that to the body of Christ. And so when I was on the phone with different members of our body, hey, do you need anything? Is there anything we can help get to you? Whether it be toilet paper or eggs, it doesn't really matter. What is it that you might need? And so we're just trying to work through all those different things. And so as a church, we still have needs. We still have things we have to get accomplished. And so we send our physical support. And honestly, that's our money. That's our resources. And so we've had numerous people texting and questioning, okay, how do I continue to give? Well, here's how you do that. You go on hbciola.com, click on the green give button, and just follow the prompts. It'll just take you through, and you can just become a giver online. That'll just help you out. Or if you want to do snail mail, do that. Put your gift in an envelope and send it to our P.O. Box. P.O. Box 1007, Iola, Kansas 66749. And so that's the way you give. But you need to be listening and heeding and paying attention when our leaders contact and say, hey, we have a need. Be ready to help supply that because you may not be able to go, but we have to send our physical support. We need to send our presence support. And so we're limited in how we're able to do that. We have phone calls, we have FaceTime, we have duos, we have all kinds of different ways to do face-to-face meetings like this, right? And so social distancing does not mean that we have to be distant. So let's make sure that we're very clear in making sure that we're reaching people where they are. But you need to be praying for each other. More now than ever before, we need to be praying, and not just praying, but praying specific prayers. That's why I'm asking. Throw out some prayer requests, some things that we need prayer for. All right, let's pray specific prayers. And don't just pray a prayer. Text somebody. Let them know, hey, I'm praying specifically for you in this way. And so that's kind of an intro, kind of where we've been. Now let's talk about where we're going. Because we've got to get into the second part of this message. And Lord willing, we're going to close out Romans chapter 16 like this. We've been in Romans 16 for a long time. Now think about this. Just our church. When we started the book of Romans, we were just getting in to go into two services. That was a massive transition for us. And then we were in the book of Romans for a long time, and then God worked us to a spot where we sold our building because the church had just grown to the point where we just couldn't function together. So we sold our building, and God has provided an old bowling alley. And so that's a transition because we're not even able to meet in that. We're meeting an old Calvary Methodist United Methodist Church building as a location. And that's been the time of transition for us. And then we are in our houses, and we are watching a Facebook Live. Which is pretty amazing, the amount of transition that this church has been through this book of Romans, and what a way, what a fitting way to finish it out, me standing in Mason's studio, preaching the Word of God to you. When we can't go, we send something. So we send where we cannot go. That was part one. And then here's part two. We send where we cannot go. Well, what do we send? We send the Word of God. We do this. We proclaim the Word of God, exactly what we're doing right now. We want to get the Word out to as many people as we possibly can. Even though I'm not able to get there, I want to send the Word where I can't go. And so this message boils down to two main points. We'll get to those points here in just a little bit. But here's the point number one, is we have to be unified in proclaiming the Word of God. We have to be unified in proclaiming the Word of God, getting it out. That's point number one. Point number two is we have to be unified in keeping the Word of God, proclaiming it and keeping it. Listen, it's easy to preach it. It's easy to do this. It's very difficult to live it out. And I'm telling you, that is the proof that we are the body of Christ, not just a building, right? Not just a church service. No, this is the time for the church to be the church. And we do that by sending the Word of God out and by living it, by demonstrating it. All right? So here's the question I want to pose to you this morning is, do you have a vision to send the Word of God out where you cannot go? And the book of Romans is a perfect example of that. It is the perfect example of that. And so I want to just kind of give you an overview of how we got the book of Romans and then make some practical applications, if I could do that this morning. And so if you have your Bible, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. I know I told you to go to chapter 16, but you're in chapter 16. Flip over to chapter 1, and I want you to see verse 13. Romans chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." And so Paul says, hey, I wanted to get to Rome. I wanted to lead people to Christ. I wanted to get the gospel out in Rome, but I was not able to get there. Romans chapter 15. Go back over here. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verses 22 and 23. So Romans 15, verses 22 and 23, it says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." So he's just saying, hey, for years I've been wanting to get to Rome. And he just was not able to get there. So cross-reference with this, with Acts chapter 19, verse 21. Just listen up. Acts 19, verse 21. He says, "And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in his spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome." And so that's Acts 19, verse 21. So Paul makes plans to go to Rome, but he has to go to Jerusalem first because there's some poor people, poor believers in Jerusalem, and there's churches in Macedonia and Achaia said, okay, we want to supply what we can. We want to send where we cannot go. We're going to send our resources. They hand it to Paul, and Paul says, okay, I'm going to take it to Jerusalem. And after I leave Jerusalem, I got to get to Rome. Here's the problem, though. In the amount of time it takes him to get the money and the things gathered up to take to Jerusalem, he begins to realize that things in Jerusalem may not go as planned. Things in Jerusalem may not go so well. And so he makes the plans to go to Rome after Jerusalem, but he realizes something. So look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." He says, okay, I need your prayers. Now look what he says in verse 31. "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." He realizes something. There are some people that have it out for me in Jerusalem. There are some people there, and I need you to be praying. Please pray for me. And so what does Paul do? He realizes, okay, I want to get to Rome. I can't get to Rome until I go to Jerusalem. And he realizes on his way to Jerusalem that things aren't going to go so well. So what does he do? Well, he does the only thing he can do. He sends the Word of God where he's not able to go. That's what he realizes. I may never get to Rome, so I'm going to write them a letter. And he writes this amazing epistle, this amazing book of Romans, 16 chapters of pure awesomeness. This is one of the greatest books ever written on the planet, and we are slowly bringing it to a close. And so he takes the opportunity, he writes them a letter. So he sends the Word of God where he's not able to go. So look over here in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. I want you to see who he addresses this letter to. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, "To all that be in Rome." He doesn't say to the church and Rome. He says, "To all that be in Rome." Now, hold on to that, because that's very, very important. He says, "I'm writing to everybody that's in Rome." So it's not just a letter. This is not just a letter. This is a message that's to be shared over and over again. So he wouldn't have sent multiple letters. He would have sent one. And that one message was supposed to be disseminated to the entire city of Rome, especially to the five churches that are there. Look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 5. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. I'm going to give you an example, lay out to you the five different house churches that are mentioned here in the entire city of Rome. Verse 5, it's talking about Aquila and Priscilla. He says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. You see that? There's a house church in Rome, and they're meeting at Aquila and Priscilla's house. Look at verse 10. He says, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. And so you have a group of believers meeting in this guy's house. I'm not going to say that name again. That was hard. That was brutal. Look at verse 11. He says, salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. And so there's another house church. There's another group of believers meeting in Narcissus' house. Narcissus, that's a fun word. Verse 14. He says, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. And so there's another house church. In verse 15, salute Philologus and Julia and Nerus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. And so there's at least five house churches in Rome. So when he writes this letter to Rome, he says, okay, I want to write to all that be in Rome. But is he writing just to the house churches? No, I believe he's writing to us as well. Because this is the constitution of Christianity. I mean, the constitution of Christianity. He lays out for us doctrinally this amazing book. So everything Paul wanted to tell the Romans, he puts in a letter. Because he may never get there. He may never get there. And so he says, I want to write this to all that be in Rome. In other words, here's the point. I want to send this letter and I want people to share it. I want them to copy it. I want them to get the word out. Take this one message and send it to all of Rome. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do this week and in the future weeks. I want you to share this video. I want you to start Facebook watch parties. I want you to take this message and get it out. Do the exact same thing to all that be in Rome. Why? Because we are Rome. We are Rome. We are the new Romans, as Alan Shelby says. Right? So prophetically, Rome never went away. It just changed faces. And we dwell in Rome today. So what better book than the book of Romans to be studying? So this isn't just a letter. It's everything Paul wanted to say to the Romans. And he gets it out through a letter. But it's not just a letter. It's everything the Christian church needs to know doctrinally about sin and the essentials of salvation and justification and what it means to be serving the Lord, what it means to be a living sacrifice. It talks about the restoration of the nation of Israel. It goes into great detail, some heavy doctrinal things that we've went through over the last couple of years. And so every church needs to know these things. This book of Romans also reveals how we're saved, how we're secure in it, right? That nothing shall separate us from the love of God. He demonstrates that in chapters 9, 10, 11, when he talks about the nation of Israel, how they turned their back on the Lord, and yet he still calls them his children, and he's going to restore them. You can see that in Romans chapter 11, and that's just pretty amazing. And so this book of Romans strikes at the heart of our self-righteousness. It deals with our flesh issues. It talks about how we can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It talks about revealing the righteousness of God in us. And so let me make this very practical. Two practical points here. Is don't allow your inability to go to keep you from sending the proclaimed word to where it needs to go. Don't allow your inability to go to keep you from sending the proclaimed word from where it needs to go. All right, so last night, our church received a message from a lady here in town. Doesn't go to our church. Said, haven't eaten in a few days. Is there anything you can possibly do? So we did some homework and trying to figure out what the story is all about, what's going on. And we just felt pressed. Okay, let's go buy about just shy of $40 worth of groceries. And let's get some food to them. Why? Because number one, they need to eat. But number two, they need to hear the gospel. They need to receive the gospel. Here's the people who are isolated. They don't have any money. They can't get to the store. They don't have a job. They don't have a car. And so how do we become the church? And so my wife and I, we went and bought some groceries and ran it over to their house. And the intention was, okay, we got to get them the groceries, but we got to get them the gospel. And when we got to the house, weren't very well received by some of the members of the house, and it was extremely loud. There was no possible way for us to have a conversation, no possible way for us to share the gospel. And so we had a Jesus tract. We had one of those tracts that we've made, and I said, hey, I want to put this in your hand. I want you to read it, and I want to have a conversation with you sometime in the near future. And so pray for that conversation. I'm going to be sending another message sometime this week to follow up, because why? I want to get the gospel where it needs to go. We got to get the word out. And so not able to go, we got to get the word out where it needs to go. And so that's practical application number one. And here's the second application I want you to get out of just this entire book of Romans, is that never underestimate the generational impact of sending the proclaimed word. Generational impact of sending the proclaimed word. Paul sends this letter, sends this book of Romans to the churches that be in Rome. And guess what? 2020, March 22nd, 2020, we are reading that book. It has gone from generation to generation to generation. It's gone from culture to culture to culture, from language to language to language. And we are proclaiming it because it is the written word of God. Think about this. Millions of people have traveled the Romans road. They've walked through Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and Romans 6, 23, Romans 5, 8, and Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. They've walked the Romans road to kneel at the cross and call upon the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior. How amazing is that? Do we get that book? Do we have these verses? Do we have this stuff if Paul is able to make it to Rome? I believe the answer is no. Could it be that God hindered Paul from getting to Rome so that he would pen this amazing letter so that we could proclaim it today? It has gone through generation after generation after generation, and millions have walked the Romans road. I am one of them. Somebody took the time to lay out for me that there's no possible way for me to enter into God's presence in and of myself, that I have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. What sad news, right? I mean, that's pretty sad news when I realize, well, God's not impressed with me. God's not impressed the fact that I believe in Him. God's not impressed with anything like that. No, God wants me to know that there's no possible way for me to enter into His presence in my own righteousness. I've fallen short of the glory of God. Well, why is that? Because I'm a sinner. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I am a sinner. I sin because I am a sinner. Because of that sin, I'm going to be separated from God for eternity if He doesn't do something. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. He's talking about a second death, an eternal death, separated from God for eternity. I'm not talking about going to heaven, right? We're talking about if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity separated from Him in a place called the lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So I can have eternal death, or I can have eternal life, Romans 6:23b. Well, how is that possible? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for me. He died for us. He died for you. And I tell you what, we don't have these verses if Paul makes it to Rome. We don't have them. And now they're penned. So Jesus Christ took all of my sin with Him on the cross. He took all of your sin. He took the world's sin. He took it upon Himself. He became sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He becomes sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And so while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took us just the way that we are. He died the death that we deserve because he loved us. But the great news is that He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day. Only God can do that. Only God can lay down His life and pick it up again and raise the third day. Amen? So Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a promise. You can't get to God. You can't save yourself. You fall short of the glory of God because you are a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. You deserve a lake of fire. God doesn't want that for you. And so he wants to offer you eternal life. And well, how do I get that eternal life? Well, it starts with His death. That He died your death. And he rose again so that you can have newness of life. Well, what does that mean, newness of life? That means you believe that he rose from the dead. Not the fact that he just died for you, but the fact that he conquered sin, and he conquered death, and he conquered hell, and he picked up his life, and he's victorious. And he's asking you to call upon his name. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a promise. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting in a watch party right now. Maybe you're at home by yourself. And these verses are penetrating your heart, and you know that you don't know Christ as your Savior. I mean, here's what you need to do. You need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Call on Him to save your soul. And maybe you need to talk to somebody, text somebody, call somebody right now and say, hey, we need to have a chat. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Maybe you're sitting in a room filled with believers. Maybe you're in a watch party right now in a living room or a kitchen or in a basement somewhere. You need to pull somebody aside and say, I need to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But church, let me just tell you, go back over here to Romans chapter 16. The fact that we have those verses is because Paul set the word of God first, and it affects generation after generation after generation. So here's my question to you. How many will do the same? How many will walk this Romans road because you led them down it? Because you know the book, because you've studied it out, because you've memorized these verses. How many will go down these verses, down this road? And so, look what he says here in Romans chapter 16, in verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Skip down to verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia. Verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stechus, what a name, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Look over here in verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas. Look at verse 13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Listen. All these names, you can go and you can do every Bible study you want. They're named here. You're not going to find them throughout the pages of Scripture, but they're named here. Why? Because this chapter is filled with a list of names of nobodies. It is a chapter of names with a bunch of nobodies, but their names are forever recorded in Scripture because they stepped up. They were able to get to Rome when Paul couldn't. I think that's pretty amazing. If you think about this, he's talking about people that he knows, and he says, as he's writing to the church in Rome, he's talking about people he loves and people he knows, and they're in Rome. They got to a place that Paul couldn't get to. I have to believe and I have to trust that you are going to get to places. You are going to go to places that I'm not able to get to. And that's what Paul's trusting in. But here's a list of nobodies who are now somebodies because they've done something for the Lord. They stepped up. And guess what, Harvest? We are church of nobodies. We ain't nothing special. We are blue-collar as blue-collar gets. We are absolutely nobody. But let me just tell you, you are able to be used by God. We are somebodies if we're willing to stand up, if we're able to proclaim the Word of God, because that's what's going to happen. And this community, as this bunch of nobodies, are going to be unified together in proclaiming the Word of God and keeping the Word of God. Listen, do you want to be somebody? It's not about getting your name written in the Bible. No, it's your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God is keeping track. So, man, I'm just excited about how God's going to use this church of nobodies to reach somebody for the Lord. That's what's happening in this chapter. That's what's happening in this passage. And so here's the question. Have you made yourself available to get the Word of God out? I want to show you something that I think is pretty cool. When you study chapter 16, you find that all the different hands it takes to get the book of Romans to us today, to the churches in Rome. You see the different hands that are involved in Romans chapter 1 in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So you have the apostle Paul, who has it in his heart to send the word of God where he's not able to go. And so, but think about this. He doesn't send it in his native tongue of Hebrew. He sends it in Greek. He sends it in the language of the people who are going to receive it. I think that's pretty amazing. He provides the Word of God in the language of the people who need it. You need to be able to meet people where they are and open up the Bible and so that they can hear the Word of God in the language of their heart. Be a Paul. Get the Word of God out on time. But now look over here in verse 23. Romans chapter 16 and verse 23. There's this three little words at the beginning of the chapter. It says, Gaius, mine host. Here's the fact is, Paul is in Corinth writing this letter. He's staying at a guy's house named Gaius. And so Gaius, the book of Romans is written from Gaius, his house. How amazing is that? So be a Gaius, provide the house where the word of God is proclaimed. I think it's pretty interesting that the Wilson home is doing just that this morning. They provided the studio, they provided the way, they provided the internet, they provided everything to get the word of God out today. They are being a Gaius. And I'm grateful for it. Be a Gaius. Open up your home to get the Word of God out. Send some live streams. Send some FaceTimes. Do some different things. Have some devotions with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Open up your home so that the Word of God is proclaimed from your house. Be a Gaius. Look one verse earlier. Look at verse 22. It says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Wait a second. I thought Paul wrote the book. Well, yeah, he did. Well, it says that Tertius did. Well, yeah, he did. Listen, here's what would have happened. Paul, he would have been pacing the floor back and forth. He would have been proclaiming the word of God, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Tertius is there writing the word of God down. He's feverishly writing the word of God down. That's what's happening here. So Tertius would have been a guy who's taking dictation, right? He would have been writing things out as Paul is proclaiming the word. So what's he doing? He's printing. He's assembling the Word of God. Praise the Lord that somebody has provided us with this book. They've taken time to print it. They've taken time to assemble it. They've done everything they possibly can to get the Word of God into our language. It's been translated. Now we have it bound, and it's our copy of the book of Romans. I'm grateful for that. And maybe God is calling you to that work. I don't know. But here's, man, I just love this. I think this is amazing. Look at verse 1 again. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, for she hath been a succorer or helper of many and of myself also. What in the world's going on here? Get this. If you have one of those Bibles that has the postscript, look at verse 27. It says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Look now, right underneath it, it says, written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. So this one of the most important books in your entire Bible was written in Gaius' house by a guy named Tertius, writing down everything that Paul said. It's supported by the local churches, you see in verse 16. The churches of Christ salute you. So it's being supported by that. Now you have the entire book of Romans is now handed to this woman named Phoebe. Hey, Phoebe, I need you to take this from Corinth, and I need you to get to Rome. But I don't need you just to get to Rome. I need you to get to all that be in Rome. I need you to get to those five house churches. I need you to get the word of God out. And praise the Lord, Phoebe succeeded because we're studying that book today. Be a Phoebe. She was willing to take the responsibility to distribute the word of God to the right people on time. Now, I don't know if she understood the gravity of the situation she was in. I don't know if she understood just how important this letter was, this book was, when she was hauling it from Corinth all the way over to Rome. But I guarantee this, she guarded it with her life. She valued it enough to get it to the right people at the right time. How important is the Word of God to you, ladies? How important is the Word of God to you, men, to get the Word of God out where it needs to go on time. So here's a couple practical points. God can use you to get his word to people on time if you are available. That's the point. If you make yourself available, God will use you to get His word to the right people on time. All right, so that's point number one. Point number two, and it goes really, really quick. Don't freak out. We're almost done. Romans chapter 16, look at verse 17. Romans 16 and verse 17. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Listen, the second main point is that we got to be unified in keeping the Word of God. That means we keep each other accountable. And so if somebody is teaching or preaching or proclaiming something that does not line up with the doctrine, the right doctrine of the Lord, we got to separate. We have to call them out on that. We have to be unified in keeping the doctrine. That's what he says. Mark them. Call them out. Name them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. It's about getting rich. It's about getting followers. It's about getting fame. Lord, protect us from that. He says, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Listen, we live in a time where everybody is going to be doing this very thing. If we're not careful, we're going to let the winds of doctrine blow us from side to side. And we've got to be unified in keeping, no, this is what the Bible says. This is what the set of teaching says. This is the teaching we're going to follow. So we have to keep the doctrine. No doubt about it. But look at verses 19 and 20. He says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. People are watching you. They're watching how obedient you are to the Lord. Are you going to forsake the assembling of the saints? Are you going to no longer give because we're separate? Are you going to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? Are you going to be reaching people where they are? Are you going to be praying for each other? Are we going to be sharing the gospel with each other? Are we going to be proclaiming the word of God to each other? Are you going to be obedient to the truths that we know? Are you going to leave it? Are you going to forsake it? Are you going to go about your own thing? Are you going to be controlled by your anxiety? Are you going to be controlled by your apathy? Are you going to be controlled by your laziness? What is it? Because people are watching. They're watching to see how the church responds. Well, if the church isn't going to freak out, we're going to be obedient. It doesn't change what we do. It might change how we do it. And maybe for the stinking better, I think. Verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, pay attention to what you should be doing and be simple-minded to the things that are evil. Yeah, there's a lot of evil lurking. There's a lot of craziness going on. Man, it's easy for me to be consumed with those things and conspiracy theories and all these different things that are going on. Wait a second. I want to be simple-minded when that comes, but I want to be wise with it, which is good. Listen, God made me a steward of the mysteries of God, not of the conspiracies of this world. Verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Don't think for a second that Satan isn't behind the scenes moving. Don't think for a second that he isn't behind some of these different things. He works in the area of kingdoms and the realms. That's where he works. The Satan will be bruised. I love that. I wish we had time to delve into that. Notice what it says at the very end of verse 20. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We need God's grace. We need His enabling power to be bestowed upon us. Why? Because we want to be obedient to the doctrine. We want to be obedient to the Word of God. And then a couple last verses will be done. Verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you, to grow you, to build upon your foundation, to establish you according to my gospel. It's the gospel that grows. Preach the gospel to yourself. Never lose sight of that. In the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began. Understand, as you're reading the Old Testament, and people would have been living during those times, they would have been clueless about the church. They're going to be clueless about the time that we are living. And I'm telling you, there are things that we read, the things that we think we understand a prophecy that we don't fully understand. But I do want you to see this. That those things that were hidden since the world began, they are now made manifest, verse 26. They are now made clearly seen. And I believe that stuff is happening today. We're now able to see things a little bit more clearly. He says, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. Run to the book. Run to the Word of God. God is revealing things through His Word according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Listen, the issue is reaching the nations with the gospel. The issue is getting the gospel out on time. The issue is getting the Word of God where we cannot go. Let's send it. Let's proclaim it. Let's put it on Facebook Live. Let's put it on YouTube. Let's put it all over the world so that they might hear the gospel. Listen, there are places that missionaries are not able to go. But you know what they're able to do? They're able to broadcast over the airwaves. They're able to drop leaflets. They're able to do different things. Why? Because they got to get the word out. If we believe what the Bible really says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we got to get the word out on time. We have to do it. And what good is it to proclaim a message if you're not living it? Listen, your testimony needs to back up the message that you're proclaiming. We've got to be unified in proclaiming the Word of God, and we have to be unified in keeping the Word of God, keeping it doctrinally and obeying what it says. In verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. This has to be about the name of Jesus. We can't be doing this so that people will hear about Harvest Baptist Church. That ain't the goal. The goal is so that people might hear and know and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is the goal. That is the direction we have to go. And that is how we bring glory to the Lord. We want to glorify Him by finishing the work which He gave us to do. Let's be about that, church. Let's be about that. We got to get the word out. So as you're sitting in your house, as you are doing your best to be socially distant, be socially engaged. Let's be in constant contact with each other. Let's make sure that the church is the church. Let's make sure that we're leaning on one another. Let's not lose sight of our own relationship with the Lord. Let's realize, wait, there's some places that I can't go. I got to get the word out. So let's be mindful of the tools that we have available to us as a church. And let's be the church. Let's be the church that God called us to be. Let's be His hands and feet in this world. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the message, Lord, that You give us here in Romans chapter 16. There's so much in here. We couldn't get to it all, no doubt about it. But Lord, I thank You. You gave us what we need. You gave us Your word. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be unified in proclaiming His truths. Lord, I pray that we would be unified in keeping His truths. And Lord, that You would use the members of Harvest Baptist Church in their respective communities, whether it be Burlington, Humboldt, Chanute, La Harpe, Gas City, Iola, Kincaid, you name it, wherever we are all gathering from today. Lord, I pray that You would use our church to get the word out on time to where it needs to go. Lord, give us boldness, open doors, Lord, that we might be able to walk through and be salt and light in this present world. Lord, may we be a Phoebe who gets the word of God out. May we be a Tertius who is making the word of God available. May we be a Paul who wants to get the word out to people in their own language. May we be a Gaius, where the word of God is proclaimed from our own home. Lord, whatever steps it is that You have for us as a church, whatever direction it is that You have for us, Father God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would lead and that You would guide us and help us to understand that what we do today will affect generations to come. Lord, I'm grateful to be able to do this very thing this morning. I'm thankful for all those who gathered this morning to open up Your word together. May we continue to pray for each other, minister to each other, and stay connected in this present evil world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so it's been awesome. I hope it's been working for you. I hope this went well for you. We don't know how things are going to play out over the next few weeks. I would assume that we're going to continue to remain in this way. But if they begin to loosen different restrictions, if they begin to do different things, there may be a possibility that we move into a time of house churches. where different pastors and leaders are in charge of different home churches, so that we can have times of fellowship and praise and prayer and preaching just within our own home churches, just like the book of Romans. So I don't know whether that's ever going to happen, but if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So don't forget to give. Don't forget to love. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to praise. You are a child of the Most High God. Let's be about that. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.